So please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and reading verses 50 and 51. Luke chapter 22 verses 50 and 51. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And our subject this morning is the ear of Malchus. The ear of Malchus. Well, we come once again for the second consecutive week to consider a verse from the Gospel according to Luke. And this time we consider a verse toward the end of the Gospel. And really, this is a scene that occurs toward the very end of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the night before the crucifixion, the eve of the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the events before us are very sad and very solemn. Just to give you the context, although I'm sure many of you will be aware, we read in these passages and in these chapters of how the Lord Jesus has been betrayed by one of his own. One of his own disciples has betrayed him. A man by the name of Judas Iscariot has arranged for the Lord Jesus to be arrested. He has met beforehand with those leading Jews who have opposed the Lord Jesus, the chief priests, and he has arranged an opportunity for them to finally lay hands upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is very treacherous, but this is most certainly what has happened. And we read of this even in the beginning of chapter 22, verse 3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. So one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, is conspiring with those who hate the Lord Jesus, who hate his ministry, and he has come up with a plot to deliver the Lord Jesus into their hands. And then by the time we get to these verses, verses 50 and 51, Judas has already come with a band of men, an armed band of men, to arrest Jesus. And he has agreed to identify the Lord Jesus by greeting him with a kiss. So he has, in effect, said to the group that are with him, the one that I kiss is the one that you must arrest. This is how the mob, the band, will know who to arrest. And this is, of course, very sad. Verse 47, while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? How treacherous this is, of course. This is what the Lord is saying to him. How can you do this, Judas, one of the 12, pretending that he is being affectionate to the Lord, pretending to be the Lord's friend when actually he is betraying the Lord Jesus? This is so treacherous. Well, just to make an early application, some things never change. One could justifiably say that there are many people even today, and of course throughout history, who have acted just as Judas is acting here. They have been just as treacherous as Judas. They have pretended outwardly that they love the Lord. They have pretended that they are on his side, but inwardly they are betraying him, and they have no sincere love or faith for him. It could be said of many people, even people who lead churches down throughout history, This is the sad reality. And well, we see Judas here doing the very same thing. But anyway, returning to this scene before us, Judas betrays the Lord in a very treacherous fashion. And the armed group, they evidently look to seize Jesus. And the disciples, when they see this, they look to defend themselves. Verse 49, when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? So the disciples know what is going to happen. They know that this mob are going to arrest them and arrest the Lord Jesus. So they're thinking about what to do. And one of them in verse 50, one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. So one of the disciples gets his sword out. Well, we know which disciple this is, of course, because you learn that not from this gospel, but from the gospel according to John. It is Simon Peter is the one who is wielding the sword. And we know also the name of the high priest, the servant of the high priest, who gets his ear cut off, his right ear. Again, in the gospel according to John, we read it's a man by the name of Malchus. So this is the scene. Simon Peter, there's chaos. He gets his sword out. He cuts off the right ear of Malchus. But then the Lord intervenes. In this scene of chaos, he restores calm. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Dear friends, this is so wonderful. How often have we seen this in the ministry of Christ? As I've already said, a scene of chaos, a scene of confusion. The Lord Jesus brings peace. He did that with the waves and the tumultuous sea when the Sea of Galilee was violent and the disciples feared that they would sink and they would all be drowned. The Lord Jesus said, well, in effect, the same words, peace be still, suffer ye thus far. This is what the Lord does in times of chaos and confusion. The Lord speaks peace, but then he touches the ear of Malchus and he heals him. And this is a wonderful miracle. This is the last miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last miracle before he goes to the cross. And so it is worthwhile and profitable for us to just consider this miracle, learn from it, and of course to trace the gospel applications. We see the gospel message in these wonderful events before us. So I just want to spend a very brief time looking at this miracle and the lessons that we can learn. And first of all, these events, this miracle teaches us, first of all, how Christians are not to behave. That's the first lesson I'm going to give to you. It teaches us how Christians, how followers of Christ, are not to behave. And this is the sense, they are not to behave with violence. Simon Peter gets out his sword and cuts off the right ear of Malchus. The Lord Jesus says, stop, Peter. You must not do that, Peter. Christians, followers of Christ, are not to behave with violence. Even if a Christian is faced with violence, even if a Christian is faced with anger and intimidation, Christians are not to respond with anger and intimidation or with violence. This is the first lesson that we learn. Peter should not have struck with the sword because that is not how Christians are to be. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Remember what he taught, turn the other cheek. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That's what he said, didn't he? In the Sermon on the Mount, resist not evil. In other words, do not return evil with evil. This is the exact opposite of what the world teaches us. The world, of course, and I say this very often, the world teaches us. What does it teach us? If somebody hits you, you hit them back. That's what the world teaches you. But we are not of the world. Christians are not of the world. The Lord Jesus is not of the world. And so what does he teach? Turn the other cheek. If somebody smites thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. We are not a violent, aggressive people in any situation. And by the way, just to develop that, neither are we to spread the gospel message by force. The gospel message is not spread by violent means. This is not how the gospel has gone around the world. It's not been by military conquest with great armies. That is not how the gospel is to go forth. We don't go forth with armies and with great weapons. No, dear friends, our weapons are spiritual. The weapons that we use, well, we have so many verses in the scriptures that teach us this, in the Old Testament even, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God. That is how the gospel is propagated, how it is spread, not by force, physical force, by the spirit of the living God. And the Apostle Paul added this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not physical, in other words, but they are mighty through God. This is how the gospel is spread. You know what the sword of a Christian really is? Simon Peter was wielding a physical sword, but you know what the sword of a Christian really is? It is the word of God. That is a Christian sword. That's what the Apostle Paul said in the letter to the Ephesians. The sword is the word of God. This is what conquers, dear friends. There are some testimonies that you hear of Christians, and this is the same for me, that Christians are saved just by reading the word of God. That is how they were conquered. Before they were hostile to the gospel, before they hated the things of God, what conquered them? What caused them to surrender to the Lord Jesus? It was the word of God. That's the sword. That is sharper than any two-edged sword, says the Apostle Paul. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This is our weapon, dear friends. This is the first lesson. I'm laboring this point, but it's an important point to make. This is the weapon that we have. It's a powerful weapon. This is why, of course, the Bible is banned in so many places and has been banned by so many governments and so many nations, because they know that is the weapon that we use. It's like they're banning an offensive and a powerful weapon. They ban the Bible because this is our weapon. This is our sword. So, dear friends, all that just to say that we are a spiritual people. We don't use physical violence or physical weapons. We overcome all our enemies by the word of God. But secondly, these events teach us so much about the heart of God, about the love of God, about the compassion of God. We see the heart of God in this miracle. And of course, we see the heart of God in the heart of Christ, because the heart of Christ is one with the heart of God. He is equal with God. He is the Son of God. He's the second person of the triune Godhead. We see God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. And I know that you know all of these things. So we see here, when we see the compassion of Christ, we see the compassion and kindness of God, even toward those who oppose him, even toward those who are enemies against him. Because, of course, this guard, this Malchus, how has he come to the Lord Jesus? Not as a follower, not as a disciple. He's come as an enemy, part of an armed band. He has come to the Lord Jesus to arrest him, to do away with him. That was the great purpose of this mob, to do away with the Lord Jesus. They are enemies to him, enemies to the Lord Jesus and to his ministry. And yet, how does the Lord Jesus deal with him? With kindness and compassion. That is what, that's the second lesson here, very obviously. The Lord shows kindness even to his enemies. Well, we know this is again what the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. What we see here is we see the Lord practicing what he preaches. Love your enemies. And this, of course, this is the great message of the gospel. We are all enemies against God by nature. This is the natural state of man. We, by nature, we are opposed to God. We are at enmity with God. That's what the Apostle Paul said. The carnal mind, or the natural mind, is enmity against God. We are all enemies, just like Malchus was, as we come to the Lord. We do not want God to rule over us. And of course, so many people, particularly nowadays, we want to do away with the Lord completely, just like this mob. They want to do away with the Lord. Look at how this world wants to do away with Christ, this nation particularly. Push God out of public life. Nothing about Christ, nothing about Christianity, not in the media, not in education. Let us just forget all about Christ. Let's push him out of the nation. That is the nature of our society. That is the fallen nature of man. And yet, to such sinners as we are, the Lord, well, he stretches forth his hands and he says, come to me. Come to me. To sinners such as we are, come and I will bless you, as he does Malchus. I will heal you. This is what he does. Dear friends, you may be sitting here. You may be thinking to yourself, I'm not a Christian. I'm somebody who is very opposed to Christ. I'm somebody who's very opposed to the gospel. You may even hate the Christian religion. But this is what we always say. Christ does not hate you. You may hate him. You may want to do away with him. But he has nothing but love in his heart for you. Dear friends, so many people have seen this. Again, I've heard testimonies of people, they were atheists, and the only reason they investigated the Lord Jesus was to try to prove that he doesn't exist. They were atheists, and they said to themselves, I'm going to set out once for all to prove that he doesn't exist. But what happened? They met with the love of the Lord Jesus. They themselves were converted. So they came to the Lord Jesus as enemies, and then they departed as servants of the living God. This is how the Lord deals with us, with his enemies. And he heals us, dear friends. I'm taking a lot of time, but he heals Malchus. This is what the Lord does to us. He heals our wounds. Malchus has a great wound. His ear has been cut off. There's no doubt. Plenty of blood and so on. But the Lord heals him. And this is the wonderful healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, again, I have to rush through these applications, but we are all wounded. You may say, I'm not wounded. I'm in perfectly good health. Thank you very much. Yes, physically, you may be in very good health, but without Christ, no, you're not spiritually in good health. You are not in good health. You know, again, this is what I very often say. If you could see your soul, and the soul is the most vital part of you, you would see how wounded it is. Your soul, the very essence of you. Yes, you may be physically well and healthy, but what is the state of your soul? Without Christ, it is mortally wounded. This is the nature of sin. Sin wars against the soul. And your soul is wounded. Your soul, maybe your soul has been wounded by the sins of others, the things that people have done to you. And yes, again, you may be physically well, but inwardly you are mortally wounded. People have done things to you. You cannot get over them. Your soul is wounded. Do you not know that Christ heals these wounds, takes away all the bitterness, all the resentment? Christ is the healer. But dear friends, it is our own sins that wound us the most. Every time you have lied, every time you lust, Every time you have hated and coveted, all your envy, all your rage, all your pride, your soul is desperately wounded by your own sins. And the scriptures teach us your soul will die one day. It will be utterly lost, eternally lost one day. It is mortally wounded. It will know an eternal death unless you come to the Lord Jesus, unless he heals you as he heals Malchus. We are all wounded, dear friends. We have to know the healing of Christ. You cannot heal yourself. Malchus couldn't heal himself. Of course not. You must come to the Lord Jesus. But thirdly, I have to move to my final point, and I want you to be aware of this. This is perhaps the most important part of this healing. The Lord Jesus, what does he heal? He heals the ear of Malchus. He touched his ear and healed him. And you know, again, this has significance when it comes to the gospel. The ear is so important when it comes to our salvation. It's the ear. You know, this is what the New Testament declares. Faith cometh. How does it come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is what the scriptures teach us. The ear is so important. Faith cometh by hearing. This is very encouraging for us. This is a comfort for us, because I very often say when I go, sadly, sometimes you are called as a minister to go and see people who are on their deathbeds. And perhaps they never have had a history of going to church. It's not clear whether they have any testimony, but you know they still have hope. They always say, don't you, that the last thing to go when you die is your hearing. How merciful of the Lord. How merciful of the Lord that the last thing to go is your hearing. And that's how faith comes. Not by sin. You don't need any of your other faculties. Just hearing. And the Lord, he's so merciful. Even if you cannot see anything, you cannot move a single muscle, you can still have faith, because it's by hearing. The ear is so important. And well, the Lord said so many times, didn't he, in his ministry, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Not eyes to see. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Dear friends, this is very symbolic. This is very important. The Lord needs to give us a new ear if we are to be saved. You know, there are some people here, and some people you meet very often, they maybe, well, they hear the word of God, they have ears, but they don't have ears to hear. So they come into a place such as this and they can hear me perfectly well. There's nothing wrong with their ears, and yet their ears are blocked. They're blocked to the gospel. Maybe it goes in one ear and comes out the other, but their ears are blocked. And there's nothing physically wrong with their ears. They're not blocked with earwax or anything. You know what they're blocked with? It's unbelief. This is all spiritual. Their ears are blocked with unbelief, with rebellion against God. That's what their ears are blocked with. They can hear perfectly well. Dear friends, you need Christ to give you a new ear. This is the application we see here. He's giving him a new ear. This is what every Christian is given. They may have heard the gospel 100 times, but one day the Lord gives them a new ear, and it is as though they hear the gospel for the very first time. Again, you read this in testimonies. I used to go to church for many years, and then one day I heard it as though I'd never heard it before. What's happened? Christ has given them a new ear. And suddenly, the things that they hear are so serious. A serious announcement. If something is not serious, you won't really listen to it. You'll just ignore it. But if there's a serious announcement, you will listen to it. And this is what happens when Christ gives you that new ear. Suddenly, this is serious. This concerns my soul. This is not something to ignore. This is about where I spend eternity. I'm on this life just for a short time, and then I'm cast out into eternity. This is serious. I've never listened like this before, but now I have a new ear, you see. Christ has given Malchus a new ear. For the first time, you hear the message personally. Again, if you think a message is not for you personally, you won't really listen. But if you hear it for yourself, this applies actually to me, I have to listen. Then you actually take it in. This is what happens. You hear the message personally. Christ dying on the cross, it was for my sins, the sins that I've done in my body. It's not just for everyone else in the church. This is me. You never heard it like this before. But Christ has given you a new ear, just like Malchus. This is why Christ died. He took the punishment for my sins. This is how we are healed. In the Old Testament, by his stripes we are healed. That means by his sufferings on the cross, by his shed blood. This is the greatest healing that we can ever know. Forgiveness of all our sins. And you hear these things and you are moved. Your heart is moved to repentance and to faith. Again, before you heard it, you were never moved. You didn't care about the Lord Jesus, whether he died or not. But you're listening in a different way. Dear friends, do you have that hearing? Do you have understanding? Are you taking these things in? Do you hear these things, dear friends? Simply put, somebody who is saved, well, they hear the Lord himself. They don't hear the preacher, the pastor. They, for the first time, hear the Lord Jesus himself, personally, as it were. Not an audible voice necessarily, but that voice that speaks to the soul, saying, come to me, put your trust in me, fear not, I will not harm you, I will save you. For the first time, you hear Christ calling to you. And then you come to him. Dear friends, this is the great miracle, the last miracle of the Lord Jesus. And so many lessons, other things I could say. But dear friends, just to summarize the lessons of this passage, no violence for Christians. The gospel is a gospel of peace. Love your enemies, says the Lord, because he is the one who loves us. We who were his enemies, he loves us. This is the gospel. He doesn't love people who are just good. We considered that last week. There is nobody good. He loves his enemies, those who have sinned against him. And dear friends, pray for that ear. Pray for your ear to be fixed, to be unblocked. Pray that you may hear the tender voice of Christ calling you to himself personally and truly. Dear friends, that's what you must pray for. But here is that wonderful miracle, the wonderful grace and compassion of our dear Savior. May the Lord bless and save each one of us.